I'm Carrie from the Just One More Fix podcast, a proud member of the Gunna Geek Network. Just like the show you're listening to now, the opinions expressed are those of each individual host. Check out all other podcasts at GunnaGeekNetwork.com and get ready because geekiness begins in 3, 2, 1.
And we're off with episode number 130 of Better Podcasting. This episode, we get creative by letting you know how we get creative.
That's creative. In this week's Better Podcasting Download, we discuss interviewing 120 independent podcasters.
Whew, that's a lot. And finally, in this week's Better Pod Back, we get smacked down by the newest Gunna Geeker.
Hint, they don't like my microphone. Lauren, start the show now.
Welcome to Better Podcasting, a show where we talk about podcast tips, tools, and best practices to help you succeed with your podcast. What makes us different? Well, just like you, we podcast purely out of the love and fun of it. Podcasting is our hobby, and we recognize that it's yours too. We always encourage your questions and feedback, and you can find all of our contact information at betterpodcasting.com. Here's your host for the show, Stephen John Drew and Stargate Pioneer.
Welcome to episode 150 minus 20 of Better Podcasting. I am Stephen John Drew, and with me, of course, is Stargate Pioneer.
It's all right. You could say 130. It's not like it's 1310. It's 130. You can actually say it. Wow. It's not superstitious at all.
Oh, okay. For sure. We're here with the latest edition of Better Podcasting. And we here on Better Podcasting from time to time like to do this thing called How I Saved My Podcast. And this is the moment that we look at you and we wave our finger and say, you haven't been helping fund this segment. And there's no financial funding needed. But the way that How I Saved My Podcast segment usually works is we solicit you to send us a story about how you saved your podcast, but you haven't been doing it lately, so maybe it's time to go ahead and retire that segment and take a new spin on it, which is how I could have saved my podcast. Which, SP, you found an interesting how you could have saved your podcast story this week, didn't you?
I did. So I was over on the Reddit in the podcasting subreddit, which Bangs Naughty Bits is a moderator over there. And a couple of days ago, we're not going to name who posted this because, you know, we're trying to keep it anonymous.
It was Stargate Pioneer.
It was not me because the title was Huge Problems with Zencastr Audio Not Synced. Can you get the hint there? Zencastr? I don't use Zencastr. I've used it like twice in my life and it's failed me both times. So I'm not.
Is that because, by the way, you're an angry caster as opposed to a Zen caster? Is that the reason why?
No, that's the rebel. The rebel's the angry caster.
Okay, fair enough.
I'm SP. I'm good. So anyway, I'm not against Zencastr, by the way. I think it's a wonderful service. The problem is if it would work more often. I'm seeing more and more of these posts about Zencastr not working. So the post title was Huge Problems with Zencastr Audio Not Sync. The post body says the audio is from three tracks, about an hour long. The two guests are almost a second off from the main track, and by the end, it's between 20 and 30 seconds off. How do I prevent this? And are there better apps than Zencastr that I should be using instead? This was an interesting thing indeed because we've been talking about it basically for the last 130 episodes. So this is a issue where a hardware recorder could help, and it could help simply from being able to sync the tracks. Mm-hmm. So even if you don't use the hardware recorder's tracks, you can use it as a main track to do things like stretch the audio of other tracks or maybe just sync them. Maybe they're just, you know, offset by 10 seconds. So you move them to the left 10 seconds, but you don't know how to do that unless you have a reference track. Or maybe it's compressed by 10 seconds or longer by 10 seconds. And you can do the, it's called stretching or de-stretching the audio track where you can make it bigger or smaller. And then you can do that for the whole track or just segments of track. So I think those are ways that could have helped him. Now, Zencastr has been having more and more of these issues. And I won't blame the caster here because he's talking about his two guests. So the two guests could be two people that simply do not podcast. They don't have podcast machines. So their computers might have been where the problem lied, or maybe it was the internet connection between them. And since they don't podcast regularly, they don't realize that they don't have enough internet bandwidth to do this. I don't know. But the main point is, if you want to try something, I would try sticking away from Zencastr for now and trying something more like Cast, which is actually tryca.st. I've not heard as many problems with that. So you might want to try that. I don't know, Stephen, what do you think?
No, I agree. What I got to say with something like this is we talk a lot about hardware recorders. And the reason we talk about hardware recorders versus just capturing by software is because I will argue with many people who say that the software recording is more reliable because of the fact that if you're not familiar with how sound records is all sound cards have their own individual timing, so to speak. So if I went and I was sitting in the same room next to SP and he hit record on his laptop, I hit record on my desktop, we're right next to each other, we're going to drift slightly. It's called digital drift because everybody's clocks are a little bit different. Even the same sound card technically can be off. Where that gets even more sticky is when you throw in the operating system function and bus speeds and all of this of computers. If you're recording on a software side of things, if all of a sudden your computer gets taxed heavy, it can cause dropouts and other effects. And I see this. I've told this before that my on-the-road podcast setup involves using an H1 because my laptop is so garbage that it will pretty much drift unless I'm doing nothing else, which isn't going to happen because I do video shows. So if I was just to record Audacity on my computer, it will generally drop out and drift. And now I have a similar situation to this, which is why I say a hardware recorder is a great way to go. With that said, that reference track, however you get it, as long as your mic and that other track are being recorded by the same device. So let's say you have yourself a 3.5 millimeter input somewhere on your computer and you are able to get good quality out of that through the left and the right channel. Those are going to be in sync because they're the same sound card. So getting that extra reference track the same way your microphone is being captured, at least you have that to fall back on if needed. And at the least, what it gives you is an option in post-production to take the track that you're getting from Zencastr, line it up with that reference track that you have and start going through from the beginning to the end and seeing what is happening. And generally, when you end up with 20 to 30 second difference at the end, stretching will not work for you. Stretching is going to be a disaster because you're guaranteed 20 to 30 seconds, you're going to have dropout somewhere. And so you're going to go through and you're going to look as you edit. And partway through, maybe 30 seconds in, you're going to go, oh, wow, all of a sudden my guests are way off. So you can kind of go through and it's a headache, but you can manually go and sync these and push these, basically cut it up and get everybody lined up. So that reference track is huge. It's not a complete alternative unless you're comfortable with the audio quality that you're getting over the internet, which you might be. I've been in this situation where somebody's track has been so bad that they've provided me locally. I've said, screw it. I don't have time for this. I'm using the track that I recorded on my end because it's in sync. And I've done that many times.
And you're able to do that because you multi-track. Your average hobby podcaster might not be able to multi-track the way you do because you have multiple sound cards for multiple different hosts.
But I will say that in a situation that it was, say, you and another guest, like let's say this was on the Gun Geek Show and you and Chris Farrell were together and Chris's track was solid and your track was dropping, I might end up going, you know what? I'm willing to take the two of them together, even though it might be merged together like most hobby podcasters would have, the receiving audio. And I would just say, I'm cutting my losses. And you know what? Both can sound bad for the week and it's worth it in my time.
Right. And that's what I was just going to say. It's happened to me actually a couple of times this year for Legends of S.H.I.E.L.D. where I've had to take my reference track because a co-host track did not pan out. And at that point in time, I'm limited because of my limited, it's a long story, but because of my limited up bandwidth, then I don't have the same capabilities that Steven does. And so I, instead of going to separate tracks, it's me and then everybody else on another track. So me on one track, everybody else on the other track. And yeah, I have had to do that. And okay, it does make editing easier though.
It does, totally does. So I think we're in agreement on this. Some form of hardware recorder would be a really good option here, even just as a reference track. So yes, if you have to do it, just an sound recorded through Audacity, as long as you're both in that recording somehow, then at least, you know, you've got that to fall back on it and you'll be synced together. But it's a pain. It is a royal pain. And yeah, not fun 30 seconds off at the end. Been there.
Yep. So I hope Mr. or Ms. Nameless over on Reddit actually got their podcast to work. But that's how we would do it. How I could have saved my podcast. If you have a how I saved my podcast story, please go ahead and get it into us. You can always tweet us at BetterPod. You can email us podcast@betterpodcasting.com, or you can catch us on our Facebook page. I guess that's still a thing. I don't know. I don't have Facebook. So that's Better Podcasting over on the Facebook.
All right, well, let's be inspired by our topic. All right, so whether it's 5 months previous or 5 minutes before, like Stargate Pioneer does before you start recording, at some point you have to decide what is the topic for my episode. Topics take time to mature when you end up having to research or assemble material over long periods of time. For example, a while back in episode 39, I accumulated and put together a bunch of information about podcast host statistics. That took time. But sometimes, on the other hand, topics just come and you're inspired at the drop of a dime, a drop of a hat. That's a phrase, right? Drop of a drone. To do a certain topic. Whatever it is, you have to pick this topic. And so today we want to talk about some ways that you can brainstorm said topics for your show.
So inspirations for podcast topics can literally come from anywhere. The key is to foster your inner creativity, codify your ideas somewhere or somehow, so that then you can build on them and make them into an episode. So for the next few minutes, Steven and I will run down the different ways that we've drawn creative inspiration for our episode topics and how we've recorded them for future use, meaning we've recorded the topics and codified them and written them down, not actually recorded on a podcast episode. So the number one thing that I'll start off with are books. You know, books are great examples, are a great source of topic ideas for your podcast. Not only are they crammed with a ton of information, they really are, but you could even reach out and ask the author for an interview. So it's like self-made creative content there. So even fictional books, by the way, can be great inspirations for your episode if you extrapolate certain plot elements into real-world applications. So don't rule out fictional books, or maybe you're podcasting about fictional books, and that's an even better scenario right there. So you can combine a bunch of books, don't have to be just one. So you can combine a bunch of books on a similar topic into research for an episode or a series within your show. And heck, that's what we used to do in grade school. It's what I used to do in grade school. So I went to the library, I found a bunch of books on a particular topic, and I wrote a well-researched report on the topic with analysis. And it's my analysis that's in there too, but it's all the information from everybody else. Plus, it's always a great way to cite quotes or interesting facts from several resources on a topic, just like that old TV show, Head of the Class. My future's so bright, I gotta wear shades, right? Steven, you remember that? Or am I dating myself?
You're dating yourself big time.
Dang. Ah, that sucks. So plus, as a public service announcement, as your Better Podcasting PSA, everybody should read on a routine basis. It will help expand your mind and thought in ways that very few other media can, because of the rate of absorption, or perhaps when you're absorbing it. Matter of fact, I just heard on the Curiosity.com daily podcast that if you read right before bed, your mind has a better chance of absorbing that information because you go to sleep right away and your mind is actually cataloging that right there. So books, great ways to research topics for your show and get creative with the topics that you need to do. Another example of a source for a topic of your show is personal experience. That's always a great way to get a topic because you've been there, you've done that, you got the t-shirt, you generally have a ton to say about the subject. For example, on this week's Gonna Geek episode number 238, when I discussed all the fun that I had upgrading my brand new laptop and hard drive. Yeah, a ton of obstacles there. I had a lot to say about that. So we had a whole segment about that. It was ready-made content, right? But it's not just me on that particular episode. Steven actually went in every single segment that he does is Steven's geeky stuff. So you actually handle that on a regular basis about every third or fourth episode, right?
Yeah, absolutely. Of course, that's all drawn on personal experience. If you're not familiar with the GonnaGeek.com show, I have a segment where I end up talking about something that is within my life. Sometimes it's an app, sometimes it's a new device, sometimes it's a new piece of tech, but that's drawing on personal experience to make podcast content. The experiences and stories are unique to you, and since you're the one doing the talking, that's going to, of course, resonate better with the listeners because you are drawing on that personal experience. If people have subscribed to your show, they're interested in what you have to say. We've talked about this before. They are there for you is part of the reason why, and so they want to hear what is important to you. And honestly, this is why sometimes we think that people with a little bit more seasoned, they're more seasoned in their life. Okay, the older hosts. We think that sometimes older people make good podcast hosts because they have all of this life experience to draw on. We're not saying that young people don't make good podcast hosts. We're just saying that sometimes the older generation, you know, the people who are like 80, 90, you know, like SP's age, they have all of that history. All of that life history. Like SP, can you believe that the world used to be black and white for SP?
The world also used to be flat, apparently, too, for SP because he's been around that long. But no, the TV used to be black and white for me. But no, the world was round even back then. So you have a lot to say and you have a lot of work experience. You have a lot of life experience. So like with the life experience, we actually did Better Podcasting episode 122 on financial tips. That was from our personal life experience. We caveated that episode heavily that we were not financial experts, but these were just main things, foundational financial things that we had done to get where we were in life to be able to hobby podcast. And then if you're working, you're doing at least 40 hours a week. And if you can draw on those experiences and those reserves without getting in trouble with your job, I would go ahead and do that too. So those are the first two ways that you can get a topic for your episode or inspiration for a topic for your episode: books and personal experience. Now, here's another topic for your episode, or at least inspiration for a topic for your episode. And this one should hit millennials pretty hard. It's social media. Yeah, folks, that thing that's everywhere right now, except for if you've been booted off of the Facebook. So social media is actually great for topic inspiration, because if you aren't getting anything useful, just go run a few miles, come back, and I guarantee you that the conversation will have moved on to something else. And it might be a little bit more useful to inspire a topic for you. Now, social media isn't just the Facebook, the Twitter, or the Instagram. Social media can include other things like Reddit or Discord or Twitch or YouTube. So there's a plentiful amount of things out there that I can term as social media. And there's always a ton of questions or posts or quotes to use as inspiration in the social media. And if you catalog it, if you write it down, if you collate it somewhere, you do that enough, you have a pretty well-researched episode there. The key is to add your own take to it, your own analysis to the information, as well as the experiences that you're seeing and reading through social media. Hey, it's also a great way to keep your finger on the pulse of your genre. So, you know, outside of your direct podcast circles, you can see what everybody is talking about by simply searching an applicable hashtag or Facebook group. And that will likely lead to a point of discussion on your show.
Absolutely. Now, one thing that I want to say about social media is that it also is a great reference point for you to realize whether or not you're being cool or not. Because Stargate Pioneer, for example, is not on Facebook. So if you're on Facebook, you know that you're cool.
I see. Well, I'm old, so, you know, you don't want to be where your parents are. So, okay, that's fine. If I'm not on there, you can, you youngins can be on there. That's fine. You know, I was listening to one of our podcasts on the network going, you know, you guys could be my kids. You know, the digital supers, they could be my kids.
Oh, that's really funny. This next one is one that's close to both SP and my heart, and it's TV and film. Now, obviously, SP does a couple of podcasts on television, and he's done other ones in the past about television, and so have I. So this is built-in content every week that he has to draw on. Now, you can treat individual TV show episodes or whole season plots as inspiration points, and you can also look at the overall picture and discuss maybe certain elements and things that relate to said TV, for example, humanitarianism or weight loss or travel, whatever it is, it might relate to that show. Now, this isn't always necessarily tied into a direct episode or an overall theme either. You can draw on TV and movies and film for other elements within your podcast. A great example of this is the official GunnaGeek.com show. Sometimes we do this thing called Geek Wars, where I ask a bunch of geeky questions to the other people and we do it in sort of a game. The intention is, of course, though, just to talk about geeky things and do it through a fun manner. Well, a lot of these questions are based off of television or movies or other ways that we consume this geeky content. So it is making podcast content for me indirectly by watching these television and films.
That's right. Just like your average night at the bar with trivia or whatever like that, but it's geek related. So we call it Geek Wars. It's actually really fun. I've actually also done this with a guest spot, right? So I've taken all my YouTube sailing channel experience, literally hundreds of hours by now that I've watched. And that's amazing. First of all, that there's that much cruising content out there. And secondly, that I've actually had time to consume it. But in any event, I guested on Sunshine and Power Cuts, that's hosted by Heather Welsh, talking about cruising, yachting, and sailboating, and living off the grid, or minimalistic living off the grid through those experiences. So that was ready-made just from the content that I was getting from those YouTube channels. So talking about Sunshine and Power Cuts, by the way, which is a great podcast, not just my episode. Actually, my episode's probably the worst one. Heather does way better jobs than I ever could with the podcast. You can actually take inspiration for topics for your show from other topics. So if you're listening to a podcast on a topic, but maybe they left some important aspects out, or maybe you have an entirely different opinion, you can throw an episode together in rebuttal or just to make sure that a contrary opinion is out there. So even a small statement in somebody else's episode can lead to an entire episode or series of episode. Better Podcasting episode 36 was based on several other podcasts talking about clip shows. So they were making statements about clip shows. Yeah, if you miss an episode 1 week, you can put together a clip show. So we put one together and we'll never do it again because it was so much freaking work.
It's way more work than just stacking them up in advance. Way more work. And at least when you stack them up in advance, you end up getting new content. So absolutely, totally agree. News is, of course, another great place that you can find topics for your show. Usually there's something happening in the world that you can talk about. Now, some things will be, of course, more applicable to your podcast than others. And while there's very few actual episodes of Better Podcasting that are solely discussing the news, hint, there's none of them, we often end up drawing from the news in our Better Podcasting download. So that's a great example of us taking world news and applying it to our show here. We're not a news program, but we definitely draw inspiration from the news. Now, SP, I know that you don't usually recommend drawing only from the news, right?
Yeah, say like on Marvel, for instance, there's been entire weeks where there's been either a big event or maybe a holiday, like 1 or 2 weeks around it, where there is no news. Believe it or not, after the promotional material for Avengers Infinity War came out, Marvel and Disney news, so that meant Star Wars news, ground to a halt because they wanted all the focus to be on that movie and how great the movie was doing. That was the news. That was the best movie opening ever, was Avengers Infinity War. And after that, there was nothing about future episodes, no director news, no casting news, nothing for 2 weeks. So if you are doing a genre topic and you have a big event coming up and you're only focusing on the news of that genre, just be aware there's going to be times during the year where you're going to have nothing. So don't depend solely on the news for every single one of your episodes.
You know, one of my favorite ways to use news is something that you don't actually realize is tied to a news point. And a great example of this is in recent news, we've all seen how Facebook has been under the wire for some privacy. Yeah, I know that SP, you're not on Facebook, but I know you read news. I know you read news and you're familiar with the fact that there's been a lot of people talking about the Facebook privacy in recent. This might be a great opportunity for somebody who does like a digital security podcast to do a privacy episode. So while they would be drawing on the news, you're going to listen to that privacy episode and not necessarily know that the inspiration came from the news.
You know what is another great way to get news-related topics for your show is listening. If you happen to have an Amazon device and you're listening to your newsflash, you can listen to something like the Curiosity Daily Show or NPR News or something like that, and you can get inspired about topics like, where does tetanus come from, or do you sleep better if your cell phone's not in your bedroom, that sort of thing. So yeah, definitely, it's not just reading website news or watching CNN or Fox News or whatever your news of choice is. You can get it through other means as well, like your home audio device.
All right. Tell me all about evolution in my topic space and how that gives me inspiration.
You're gonna throw this one. Okay, I get it. So, hey, what happens when something new comes along that changes everything? I mean, what if something that's old or relatively new, but still old, that everybody's depending on, and it goes away and it just changes everything? R.I.P. Blab. Mm-hmm. Yeah, we're talking about Blab again, that wonderful thing that was around during episode one of Better Podcasting, but shortly closed shop thereafter.
Which, by the way, I think I'll many years later take full credit here and point out that I steered us away from Blab because I foresaw that. Continue.
You did indeed. But if it does, if there's a big change like that in your space, you should probably talk about it and the fact where you're not depending on it anymore because it just doesn't exist. But what if you do a space segment on your show like I do on Gonna Geek and Elon Musk launches the Falcon Heavy rocket, lofting a car into space and simultaneously recovering two of the boosters? You'd want to talk about that, right? And hey, what if Skype goes away as we know it and you have to find an alternative method to podcast? We would want to talk about that here on Better Podcasting. So it's evolutions in your genre of just different things happening that are going to change the foundational being of your topic. You're going to want to talk about that. That is a ready-made topic as long as you're paying attention to your genre.
Other thing that you might want to consider in order to be inspired is, what do you find yourself being passionate about? This is a great way to find a topic that's going to speak well to your audience, because obviously you have that passion and that knowledge because you are passionate about it. Great example of this is episode 65 of Better Podcasting, where we talked about self-hosting versus not self-hosting your podcast. It's a very passionate topic for myself because I think there's a lot of wrong information provided on both sides of that argument. I'm very passionate about that. So we did an episode on that so that we could talk about both sides of that coin in a very even manner here on Better Podcasting. SP, on the other hand, he's very, very passionate about space stuff. He talked briefly in an example a minute ago about Elon Musk and how he'd apply that to the GunnaGeek.com show. Well, on the GunnaGeek.com show, SP has a routine segment that he does called SP Space Symposium, which is a dedicated time for him to educate the listeners on something in space because he is passionate about this. This is a great way to draw inspiration for your show.
It's also a great foundation to base your show on, something that you're passionate about. Because if you're not passionate about it, at some point in time, you're going to run out of either drive to do it or topics to talk about. Here's another thing that you can consider for inspiration for creative topics is your listener and audience interaction. Feedback. You know, we've talked about this before because we spoke about it in episode number 118 of Better Podcasting, of tapping into that feedback that you're receiving. But really, interaction with your audience might be a great source of inspiration. Heck, it even might turn into a routine segment on your show, like Better Pod Back.
I was going to cough Better Pod Back for the video viewers. That's why I had my hand over my face, but SP just stole that. Finally, you yourself and your podcast might be your own inspiration. I know, so meta, right? Review your back catalog and listen to old shows from time to time. It helps you for a variety of reasons, and not just with your topic, but we're talking about the topic. You might, in this listening, identify an area that is maybe really old or outdated information or something that is just worthy of tapping again. Great example of that is not to be too sad, is the RIP Blab thing. We did a whole video segment back in the day, a three-part series on video shows, and part of it was talking about using a simple way to do video, and we referenced Blab. That might be something that we would want to come back and revisit that if there was more changes to justify doing a whole new episode again that's more current. Also, you might find that you yourself have a different opinion than you used to. So it might be something that you've seen, been enlightened a certain way, or you see things through a different pair of eyes. So you might want to actually go ahead and tap on this if you have a whole new view on the subject. So your podcast might actually be its own inspiration.
Right. So one thing to remember about this is you really don't want to recycle topics too soon. But if you've been going at least a year or two, there might be some great things to revisit by looking at your own show. And re-listening to old episodes is also a great way to critique yourself and to help yourself get better. So there's multiple reasons to go back and listen to your old shows. It's not to embarrass yourself. It's to get better. It's to research what you were talking about in the past. New listeners might come along and they might start listening to your old topic. So it would be good to refresh yourself on what you've been saying a couple of years ago. So as you can see, there are a ton of ways you can grab inspiration for your episode. And ultimately, you need to use what works for you. And if we didn't talk about your inspirational podcast creativity, why don't you go ahead and give us a message, drop us a line at BetterPod on Twitter. You can go over on the Facebook, Better Podcasting, and podcast@betterpodcasting.com is a great way to email us with your ways that you grab podcast topic inspiration.
Awesome. Let's go ahead and talk to 120 podcasters. SP did this himself, 100%.
That's not true.
Welcome to this week's Better Podcasting Download.
This is a very interesting thing that, again, SP sent my way. I don't know where you find this stuff. I have a feeling it has something to do with time travel and other crazy secret technology, but this was very interesting when you sent this my way, SP.
So, in full disclosure, I found it over on Reddit, and that is a great place to get a lot of great podcast information, especially the podcasting subreddit. But so,
wait, so you don't have a time machine?
I'm not saying I do or I don't.
Because I always thought I was the Marty McFly, but am I not Marty McFly?
You're totally Marty McFly because your kids are totally messed up.
Wow. Okay.
So, in any event, there was this post about 3 weeks ago about 120 independent podcasters that were interviewed. And this was over on listennotes.com. And there was a particular quote in the article, which I found great. So this, let me take a little step back. These interviews weren't like the normal interviews that you would get. It wasn't the people that are in the infrastructure of the pod space. It wasn't the big, huge companies either. It wasn't Gimlet Media. It wasn't NPR. These are independent podcasters that we would call hobby podcasters for the most part, not totally. And they got their chance to be interviewed over on listennotes.com. And this is the quote that really grabbed me from the article on listennotes.com. It's as a result, many producers that we interviewed aren't making a profit from their show. And they're okay with that. They talk about how they're not in it for the money. The goal is creativity, fun, and audience growth. I gain nothing financially from podcasting, says sit down and shut up host Joshua Tracy. While it would be nice to be at some point where that is realistic, my real benefit is having the creative outlet and a strong listener base, unquote. Bravo, well said. And this made me take a deeper look into these 120 interviews by independent podcasters. If you do open the list of the 120 podcasters that were interviewed, sadly, you will not find Better Podcasting, Gunna Geek, Legends of S.H.I.E.L.D., Starling Tribune. You'll find no Gunna Geek shows on here, and I have no idea why, because I'm sure our folks would have loved to have been interviewed for this. But you have everything from a Battlestar Galactica podcast, you have different comedy podcasts, you have music podcasts, health-related podcasts. So this spans a lot of different genres. It is well worth the read. You can go into each individual interview where they tell about their podcast, how and why they started the podcast. It's basically a format questions for each podcaster. How'd you find the time and funding to do this podcast? What did you gain from podcasts? How does your podcasting process look like? So this is 120 independent podcasters telling how they did it or how they keep doing it. This is a great record, and it is something that I would definitely recommend that you go and you check out. Now, there was an accompanying article with this that went into themes of independent podcasters or different genres and so on and so forth. But if you go over to the Reddit post, the author Wen Binnif says there's lessons and tips from independent podcasters. So there's three tips. I won't go into depth in them, but the topics were A, find a friend. Most of these successful podcasts found a friend, a relative, somebody like that who they've stuck with and podcasted with. B or two was know your stuff. You have to know the technical ways on how to podcast. I can actually vouch for this because I didn't know how to podcast at the start. And if I did not have a friend showing me how, it would have taken me a long time to figure that out. And this is before I knew about podcasts, about podcasting too. If I would have known about that, I would have rapidly gotten up to speed myself. And number three was get advice from your community. These are all things that we keep saying. So it's great that they're able to pull out these things from those 120 interviews. So this is well worth your time to delve into. If you're interested in podcasting space, this is a great resource to use about how 120 different podcasts actually continue to grow that are independent.
And you can check out the Reddit article, of course. As always, you can go to betterpodcasting.com/130 for all of our links in our show notes. But head on over to geeks.link/120podcasters. That's 120 podcasters. Take you right over to that Reddit post. The most interesting part that I found about this was they said, don't be Steven. That's what they said. It was the common theme between all of them is don't be Steven.
And don't be SP by podcasting more than two podcasts in a week. That guy's crazy.
That guy is crazy. I don't even know why anybody would podcast with him.
That's even crazier.
But seriously, thanks for sending this my way, SP. A lot of fun to read through, and definitely everybody should check that out. Let's go ahead and move on to Better Podback. Here we go. You know, sometimes I think we're a little older here, so we should probably appeal a little bit to the younger crowd. So we're not crazy. We're cray cray. Yeah, that's the thing that they say, right? We're cray. No, it's not even cray cray anymore. It's just cray.
Cray. Is there an emoji for that?
There's an emoji. Yes, there is. All right. Let's talk about the feedback that we received from the newest Gunna Geek Network member, Joshua Liston. That's right. If you have not heard last week's episode, we are pleased to say that we have a brand new member of the Gunna Geek Network, which is on the Bubble Podcast. You can check that out at GunnaGeekNetwork.com. And Josh Liston, the man behind On the Bubble, said, "I'm judging your sound already at Stephen John Drew. Not a fan of the RE320 thus far, brother." So we've talked about this before. I went back to the 320 just for fun. Last little while, I was using the Heil PR781, which was very high-end heavy. So I took off that. I put the RE320 on, and I left the settings exactly the same just for comparison reasons. So I left everything the same on my DBX286. And I hated it too. So I didn't like it at all last week. So I made changes this week. I'm more back in line with what I call my quote average settings, because a lot of these microphones that I've used, I've able to keep sort of the enhancers around the same level, generally speaking, but the PR781 just was so extreme on the upper end that it had to have its own special skill set.
And this is just another prime example where audio is A, subjective, and B, every voice is different, right? So the RE320 so far has been the best microphone for my voice and just recording overall. But for Steven, it's not. It hasn't been yet. And he's going to make some corrections. Maybe it'll get a little bit better. But there are other microphones that I'm just guessing will Steven should go to versus what he's got. But it's great to be able to compare, right? You have the RE320, you're able to compare that to the PR781, to the PR40, to the BP40. So you got all these microphones. We've even compared it to the Shure SM7B, mm-hmm. and we know what fits with your voice. And this, again, I have no affiliate link whatsoever to this. I've just heard about it. It's MikeReynolds.com. That's MikeReynolds.com, and you can go ahead and grab one of these puppies, bring it home, and test it out on your ears and your voice to make sure it's the right fit for you before you plunk down several hundred dollars for one of these.
Fun story today while we're talking about microphones. There is a artist, I think her name is Lana Del Rey. She's an American singer. I think it was her. I heard a story today that there was a song that she wrote, and I don't remember the name of it. It's pretty popular right now. And got it to, I guess, the producers. And the producers went, I don't like this arrangement at all. It's like there's no passion to the lyrical content. So what they did was they said, hey, we got a band, get you in this vocal booth right now. And in the vocal booth was a Shure SM58. And that's how they recorded it, with a Shure SM58. And I believe it's Lana Del Rey, and a pretty popular song right now. So it just goes to show, I wanted to share that while we're talking about microphones, that you don't always need a microphone upgrade. There's lots of people who have recorded. There's lots of songs in the history of music that have been recorded on just basic SM58 handheld style microphones or different ones, but you don't always necessarily have to go up. But because I have these different microphones, I just like to experiment because we get a lot of questions about it.
Yeah, man, that's amazing. The SM58, which is by definition a stage band microphone, so I could definitely see a lead singer using that. That's great. We also got a tweet from @BandrewSays, who said in reply to @BetterPod, @StargatePioneer, and @StephenJohnDrew, "Hey gents, there's about 16 minutes of silence at the end of the episode this week. Dude, come on. That's Steven. That's not me."
Okay, so I edit in Magic's movie studio. I've talked about that before. And one of the things that you can do within the software, which I love, is you can add little tags, little notes. So you go in and you flag a certain area. I don't actually use the flags, but they're a great feature to have. Sometimes I accidentally hit the hotkey where it adds a flag. And so what ended up happening was somewhere along the way, I had my cursor like an hour or so into it and I hit the flag. So then when I exported, it exported all the way to that flag that was at the end, thus the silence. I caught it very quickly, very, very quickly, like within the first couple of minutes. I pulled down the episode, I swapped it out, but it looks like some of you listeners who do have the super ultra hacked version of your podcatcher, because obviously if you're getting it that quick, you're hacking something, you're a hacker. See, I just want to say hack because it's not clipping anymore. But you absolutely have the special Better Podcasting special edition episode of episode 129.
It's great to have a collector's item. I would save that, Andrew, if you haven't already. I actually have several episodes of podcasts dating back to the first podcast I listened to, Galactic Water Cooler, that are special editions. So we also had a tweet from Diami Plotkey, who said, at Better Pod, in your recent show, you discussed notes for field recording. For a recent conference, I made laminated cards with our questions on them. This is particularly useful, especially at a conference where there's drinks. Now, I'm not just talking about alcohol drinks. It could be water. It could be lemonade. Could be something like that. It could be beer, it could be wine, but if that gets splashed around, it gets on your notes. All of a sudden, you've got wet, soggy notes. So I got to hand it to Diami. At a woodworker's convention, he probably used some sort of epoxy to laminate them. Maybe some sort of, I don't know, stain, Stephen. You seem to be familiar with such things.
I think he used a varnish. I think that's what he used as a varnish. Yes.
I see.
Yeah. Also, on our YouTube side of things, we had a couple of comments on, speaking of microphones, on my Big Mic Shootout, which, again, you can find at geeks.link/Big Mic Shootout. I believe will take you right over there. That's geeks.link/Big Mic Shootout. And the first comment was from somebody named White Shadow 001. One said, it's a tie between the Procaster and the RE320.
Yeah.
And also, in a related YouTube video, the latest episode, we had Johnny Pennington comment on YouTube saying, what's always great about Better Podcasting is not only the very good information that these two hosts provide, but additionally, the entertaining manner in which they provide it. Along with that, they often provide information about topics that you just don't find on most other how-to podcasts. So thank you very much for that there, Johnny. You headed over to YouTube. Is that because I didn't respond to your latest email? I'm sorry. I've been busy.
Tried to get your attention in public. Steven, you're not paying attention to me. Pay attention to me over here on YouTube. Seriously, guys, if you want to leave us comments over on YouTube, we will see those. Actually, Steven and I check the YouTube channels at least once, if not multiple times a day. We always see it. And if we see something interesting, we'll message each other. You're like, dude, did you see this? It's great.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
Like that time that Chris Hardwick came over to our channel and made a comment over there right after Kevin Smith did as well.
That was really cool, and I'm surprised you had the $10,000 each to give them, US.
So there you go. That's the end of Better Podcasting. If you want to get in touch with us, get in touch with us through any of the ways that we mentioned. You can always send us a tweet at BetterPod. You can go to facebook.com/BetterPodcasting, or just send us an email, podcast@BetterPodcasting.com. And we also want to remind you that, yes, we do have a video companion. If you didn't catch that before and you're listening to us through the podcast version, we do have a full produced video show. The whole show is properly edited and it's multi-switched and all that. You can check that out at youtube.com/GunnaGeek, or just head on over to betterpodcasting.com and you can see that. Which reason we say that is because you can always send us a video clip as well, and we'll throw you into the show. So go ahead, show us what a good looking person looks like, because SP and I know that we aren't.
Nope, definitely not. Matter of fact, I'm surprised I haven't gotten some hate already.
So there you go for episode 130. Of Better Podcasting. I'm Stephen John Drew. They say I don't have a bassy enough voice for the RE320.
I'm Stephen John Drew. Have a good night.
And I'm SP saying I am beardless for the summer once more. Sorry to shock you folks.
Have to see change my time. Lighting again. All over. Bye. Bye.
Thank you for listening to another episode of Better Podcasting. We want to hear from you. You can find all of our contact information at betterpodcasting.com. If you like the show, please consider giving us a 5-star review in iTunes. We encourage you to check out all of the other geeky podcasts available at gunnageeknetwork.com. This has been a Gunna Geek production. Thanks for listening, and we will see you again next week.